Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. What up, R7 Nation? We got a nation now, Dave. What do you think about that?
I think it's cool, but here's the deal. Nation, if you go meet Dave and you watch the intro to the show every week, just remember, he's not smooth-shaven Dave. He's stubbly Dave. So he looks a little bit different.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we're talking, it's just Dave and I, it's just the Daves.
Yep.
And we are talking about communicate, and we got some stories. We're going to talk about obligatory religious phraseology. We're going to talk about prophecies. We're going to talk about miracles. We're going to talk about vision, narratives, and evangelists. We're going to talk about all this in the next 30 minutes or so. Strap in. This is going to be a great show. So excited to have you here. R7, as you know, we talk about destiny, vision, strategy, brand, communicate, think, which is pray, and step 7, take action. Today, yep, we're talking about communicate. So, Dave, what does communicate mean to you when we're talking about vision? What does that mean?
Good question. So to me, communicate is, how do you actually get it out? How do you talk about it? What does it sound like? Is it clear? Is it compelling? We've used those kind of descriptors before in the past on here. So you understand that, like, you can have a vision birthed in your heart and be all about it, but it wasn't birthed in the heart of the people that are part of your organization.
Come on.
It's not really birthed in the hearts of the
people. Don't shoot him down when he's preaching good, guys. Come on.
I'm just telling you.
Say it again.
It's when a vision is birthed in your heart, it's not birthed in the hearts of the people in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not business people. It's not birthed in the hearts of your vendors. It's not birthed in the hearts of your customers. And pastors, it's probably, I dare say, not birthed in the hearts of your congregation. It's birthed in your heart. You've got to figure out how to communicate that, how to get that out there. And it can't be, you know, a run-on sentence miles long. It's got to be short. It's got to be portable. But you can then build off of it and figure out how you want to communicate it. But you've got to be able to communicate it. So they say, they meaning expert researchers say, that you've got to repeat yourself. You have to repeat that vision. And that's why having that clear vision statements is important. And it's not just repeat it once. It's repeat it 7 times. So the idea here is, you're probably going to get tired of talking about it. And you're going to think, God, man, everybody knows it by now. Well, the reality is they don't, number one. Or number two, they don't still fully understand it. And they think maybe you were talking about X when you were talking about Y. Maybe you were talking about we and you were talking about they.
I've got a beautiful story here that amplifies exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
So back in the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan was president, there's this thing called a bounce rate. So the bounce rate still exists today, but the bounce rate is, how long does it take for the American people to resonate with the message? So they knew that when the president gave a speech, that bounce rate was about 30 days. So every 30 days you would see, remember the boo, 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 all broadcast, and like the president would come on, remember that?
Yeah.
And so 30 days, that would resonate with American people. Now, impressions back then were about 3,000 a day. So an impression is somebody, some organization wanting you to buy their stuff, your toilet paper, your toothpaste, your mouthwash, your deodorant, your cat food, your cat litter, just 3,000 impressions a day. That was 3,000 impressions a day. If we fast forward to when Obama was being elected, the bounce rate was 3 days. And the amount of impressions are up to about 9,000 a day.
Wow.
If we fast forward to 2016, when Trump was being elected and running for office, they knew the bounce rate was down to about 2 hours. And the amount of impressions were up to about 17,000 impressions a day.
Wow.
So when we get clients started here at M is Good, I tell this story to say, listen, you have a great vision. I'm here. I want to applaud you. We need more Christians in the market bringing their vision to life. But here's the thing, man. We've got to position you as an expert in this space. And we have to create enough impressions so that a purchasing, so people have an option to buy your product, good or service. And so this is going to take time. You are going to get slaughtered mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, because you haven't been positioned as an expert yet. This is going to take time to build this. So when you say something, Dave, is all that wisdom saying it's in your heart, but it's not in other people's heart. Man, it is tough to get in line. It is tough to create those consistent impressions. And I can be a testimony to brands that I have started and shut down too early. One of my greatest mistakes was shutting down the Reset Agency early. And I thought, because I thought, man, the messaging, something's off, you know, the product, something's off, you know, what do we need to do? You know what? It's not working. I think I'm gonna shut it down. After 3 years, I shut it down. And what I, 2 years after I shut it down, Dave, I realized I didn't create enough impressions in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. This was a really cool product. The messaging was spot on. I just didn't stay persistent and consistent, which brings me to a recommendation. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to put this Amazon link into the description, but the book Chop Wood, Carry Water, How to Fall in Love with the Process and Become Great by Joshua Metcalf is an incredible book on exactly what we're talking about here. So when we're talking about vision, communicating it early and often, Dave, that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story.
Well, thanks. And I love what you said, because the reality is, for all of us, life is noisy. You have everything coming at you. You have all kinds of noise in your head from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep. Even if you sit in your bed and you're on your phone to unwind, you're dealing with noise. So you've got to find a way to cut through the noise to create, as you just talked about, those impressions. And it's not just external, it's internal to your employees too. Like, they've got to understand, you have to have something that's going to resonate in their heart. You have to. Like, I knew for me, you know, when I was leading a business unit at my last company, I began to figure out that the vision that I was casting, which was helping everyone win every day, was actually resonating when I would see my employees put it in their auto signature. Wow, that's what they wanted to be known for, man. Yes. They wanted to be known for, I'm going to help you win, and I'm going to do it every day. And I'm going, all right, that's giving me the ability to at least a little bit begin to understand that it's sinking in with the people that I have. Do they talk about it? You know, here's some good questions, right? Do my people talk about it with outsiders, meaning people that aren't my organization? Do they talk about it with your customers? Do they talk about their vendors? Do they talk about the insiders? Do you use it as a backstop? Do you use your vision as a backstop to performance conversations, right? Do you let the vision be the bad guy? Well, the vision is X. This is what we're going for, and your performance is Y.
David Miller talked about that last week, didn't he? Let the vision be the bad guy. That was powerful.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you've got to find a way to be able to use it in multiple shapes and spaces and times. And it's got to be portable. It's got to be able to strike. It's got to be able to be understood. And it's your job as leader to continue to say it. Some of you have team meetings, and one of the things you talk about your team meetings is you ask the question, what are the wins? When your people talk about wins, your job is to tie the win to the vision, to make it understandable so you know how that actually works. Don't lose the opportunity to tie your vision to the win that's happening and helping people understand why it's happening that way, right? When people get promoted in your organization, how did they engage the vision? That should be part of your vision in some way, shape, or form, is career pathing and employee growth and business growth and how you attack your marketplace, how you, you know, treat your customers. All those things should begin to make sense so you begin to understand how you use that vision. It's a powerful tool. As we said a few episodes ago, I'll use the Andy Stanley quote, is what's hanging on the wall happening down the hall. You have to be able to talk about that and communicate.
So how does story fall into place there? So we have our vision. What does the narrative or the story look like?
So I think when you think about brands, and I thought about this too, you think about brands, there are brands out there that have an amazing narrative that draw people in. right? Think about a brand like Tom's Shoes. So, right, Tom's Shoes came out, what, maybe, I think in 2006? I think is when Tom's Shoes started. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing about it and thinking, no way, how is this a business model where you buy a pair of shoes and then every pair of shoes that are bought, they give away a pair of shoes to underprivileged people that don't have them all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they're blessing those people. And then recently, quote unquote, as of the end of COVID, the company began to understand that mental health issues were a big challenge. Those, if you remember, I mean, that was one of the things that was uncovered during COVID, were people with a lot of mental health challenges. And so what they're doing now is they're giving away a third of their profits to organizations that help people from a mental health standpoint, right? Now, if you just hear that as a consumer, does that not motivate you to go, man, I better take a look at their shoes. I could help people around. I could be used as, you know, as even though it's one pair of shoes, there's somebody on this planet that's going to get a pair of shoes that didn't have any. And they are ranked in the highest ranking in terms of allowing the public to see what they're doing financially, to see where the money actually goes. You know, they have no issue allowing people to see what's actually happening so that they are above reproach and they're not being questioned on their ethics. Now, that's a powerful narrative, right? If you have a narrative that's like that, you've got to be able to get it out. What is the story of your brand? Last week, we got to hear from our friend Sarah around how she built her brand in Colorado. That's a powerful narrative. That's one that if I'm her, I want to have multiple places to tell it, and I want my salespeople to know it well enough that they can tell it too, right? This goes back to making sure that your people understand the vision, the values, the history of what you're doing so that they can begin to talk about it. Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is where, like, you know, you buy a shoe, right? They give away a shoe.
Yep.
Right. That's, you know, big picture, short way of explaining their narrative. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Buy a shoe, give away a shoe. Very simple in terms of messaging, right? Christians, now I'm the first one to say that I'm a right-wing, Bible-toting, gun-carrying Christian. You look at right and you go far right even further, like 10 more steps to the right, I'm standing there, you know? And so I'm unabashedly that way. Now, when it comes to messaging and communicating, I do not like ORPs. And ORPs are obligatory religious phraseology. It's creating really cute messaging that nobody knows what you're saying. Let me give you an example. We're transforming ministries with the spirit of excellence. Hey, at our church, we are helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Like, this is really cool messaging that can't deliver and nobody knows what you're saying.
Hey, time out. If you're listening to this, can you put some of your own favorite ORPs in the comments? Because Dave and I would love to collect them and create a museum of these. You know what I mean? Like, can I give you a really good one too? I'll throw on your pile while you do this. Yeah. You can unpack it if you want to. Discipling the next generation.
Discipling the next generation. Yeah. So, you know, this is discipleship, man. We had Steve Noble on. We talked about this. What is discipleship? You know, like, very, very difficult word to understand from a Christian perspective and for a person coming in. Transforming ministry. How are you transforming ministries? Yep. Becoming fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Like, who's measuring that and what the heck does that mean? You know, and so when we're talking about story, you've got to break it down to some very, very simple. I like to say we find the tip of the spear in the messaging that can resonate with everybody. They totally can get it. And so that's important to get rid of your ORPs. And I think if you're hearing this and you've never heard the term ORP before, you know, if you look at your messaging, you'll get it. You know, if you look at what you're writing or what somebody else has written in your church or your ministry, you'll get it. You'll see it right away. So your story's got to be simple, right?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think you and I talked about it in the pre-show. Like, you know, another good one out there is Scott Harrison with Charity Water, where you can go and you can raise money for, you know, clean water wells to be dug in Africa and other places around the world. And you're talking about a guy that his personal story is great. He just wrote a book called Thirst that's out there that talks about his personal story, but he was a nightclub promoter turn, you know, charity guy after going through a pretty radical life experience, and has really done all that he can to build an organization that has private funding so that when people raise money, all the money they raise goes to, you know, clean water wells. And it's a pretty wild experience. They're another one that is in this ranking, you know, that's out there that says, hey, you can see where all of our money goes. You can see how all the money is spent, and it's out there. And that's another really cool story that the people that are part of Charity Water at all the different levels within the organization can talk about the vision, the mission, why it was created, and how you can do it. I mean, I've even seen in the last 10 years, there have been a lot of celebrities that have utilized Charity Water to raise money to build wells around the world. And not just their money, but other people's money too. Again, great story. So there's a story in your organization that's tied to your vision to be told.
What if you feel like your story is just not very compelling? What do you do then?
Man, if your story, if you have a narrative that's not compelling, I would challenge you to create one based on the vision, which is the idea of what the future will look like.
Hmm.
If we do X, the future could be Y. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go back to the vision I talked about a second ago, helping everyone win every day. That one evolved over time too. You know, I started it by talking about, hey, we help, you know, we help our customers win every day. We bring our full selves to work. We are, you know, talking to them about their life, not just what we do for them. We get to become, build relationships and make friends with the, you know, our vendors. Some of our vendors live really hard lives, and all they want is to be able to make friends and talk to somebody who cares about them. That's amazing. Then we started talking about career pathing. Then we started talking about how we work together. And then we started talking about how we then branch that into the community we're in. And all of a sudden, if we even had never done anything, it's a compelling vision with a compelling narrative that makes a customer go, I want to be part of that. Or a potential person you're hiring to join your organization that says, I want to be part of that. What do you think?
Yeah. I would echo that and say, okay, maybe my story is not very compelling. Like, I feel like my story and how I started them is good. It's kind of boring.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because really the story hasn't, it's unfolded, but it took like 10 years for it to unfold. Where in the very beginning, what was I supposed to do for those 10 years? Right. And so that was more about the future, and it was more about the expectation and what I was going to do and how we're going to change the world together, you know? And so that's where I think is, you know, not necessarily people care about me, but they care about what I can do for them to get where they want to go. And there's a great story. Like, I got crazy stories of different clients that I've said, let's do this together. Let's explore messaging together. Let's explore vision together. And let's see what that looks like. And now it's two lives coming together saying, all right, we're building something. This is going to be awesome. And let's let God work, and let's watch God work, and watching God work and telling the stories becomes a fun story, a fun narrative.
See, I would agree, but I'm not trying to be a fanboy, but
yeah,
one of the things I love about your story is A, in those 10 years, you're not a 10-year overnight success, or now not a 20-year overnight success. You have tons of lessons to learn from that, right? You're at the TV station, and in my mind, your back's against the wall a little bit at that point too, and you got to make a decision. You got to be courageous. You have to believe in something and decide what you're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. And in the story of M is Good, there are sub stories in there that you can talk about God's faithfulness through some really tough financial experiences and decisions you got to make, where you're kind of freaked out, going, I hope this works out. I don't know if this thing is going to work or not. Fingers crossed. And all those are amazing stories that make people go, look at the longevity you've had in a marketplace that doesn't have a ton of longevity in it. Why? You know, what have you done? Why was it important? Why did you do, you know, why did you do what you do? I think there's a ton that's in there still.
Yeah. I just think being consistent and persistent is not really a compelling story, I guess, in my mind, you know. I kind of look at, was it Brady Anderson? You know, my career looks like, you know, Brady Anderson. Remember, he played for the Baltimore Orioles, and his story was, what's it, sideburns?
Yep.
His story was that he showed up.
Yep.
Yeah, he's got the longest Major League Baseball streak of attendance.
Oh, you're talking about Cal Ripken.
Iron Man, baby.
Yeah, you're talking about Cal Ripken. Iron Man.
Okay, Cal Ripken. Yeah, I have a Cal Ripken story.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Where Cal Ripken is Iron Man, he's the one who has played the most games in a row and had nothing to do with winning a championship. He just had to show up every day.
He just showed up every day.
Yep.
And so, like, and he didn't have crazy hit numbers, and he didn't have crazy stolen bases or, you know, a golden glover, although he may have done that a couple times. I don't even know. He just showed up. And I'm like, that's kind of the way I feel. I've showed up, you know, and I've just grind, and I kind of like the grind, and I like the persistence and the consistency. I don't know if it's compelling. I guess maybe it is.
I don't know. I think it is, but I will say something to the story of Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty funny. For all of you psychotic sports parents that are out there that make all the coaches' lives awful, I know already, right? Cal Ripken is a junior, and senior was his manager in the Orioles, so that's why he got to play, because his dad was the coach. I mean, he was the manager, but it was a whole lot more than that. I just had to say it, even on the pro level. See, his dad's the coach.
So what does that tell you for parents? They need to be the coach?
Exactly. Your dad should be the boss. Your dad should be the boss. Anyway. But yeah, so the narrative is good. You know, I think in having that good narrative, I mean, the next piece is this idea of having evangelists.
Okay.
You need somebody to carry, you need to have somebody to carry that narrative. Right? And so... Okay. When you think about it, you know, you've got the people that use your product, whether you're a business or you're a church, people that come there, and they're going to talk about whether it's good or not, right? I mean, you think about the fact that 20 years ago, Chick-fil-A was predominantly in the Southeast. You start opening up the North, people start talking about this place called Chick-fil-A is crazy. Mm-hmm. And their growth has been insane the last 20 years, right? You talk about Amazon. Amazon grew a ton when they created the Prime product, where you pay your monthly subscription, you get everything in 2 days. And you almost got Amazon Prime shamed if it was, no, I don't do that. I just pay. You pay regular shipping? I don't buy that much. You should. I mean, dude, you would get shamed by your friends for not having the Amazon Prime membership, man. It's crazy to me. You know, but then you've got entities that are out there that are all for the evangelists, like Yelp, TripAdvisor, all the stuff, you know, people have time to put in reviews and you want to be able to see what it is. And so, you know, if you think about it, how do you create evangelists to your vision? Creating a powerful narrative is one, but it's not the only one. How do you create evangelists for him is good?
Yeah. So I think when the vision is that powerful, like if you really have a solid vision, the evangelists kind of just show up. It's people that want to be part of it. I think in the church, we see it all the time with volunteers. You know, you see it all the time with sports. You know, every youth sport has evangelists that are going to help out and they're going to be there. And so that's where, you know, I think if you're struggling with your evangelists, it's because you're not communicating the vision early and often and not getting in front of people. So just last week, it's so interesting we're talking about this on this podcast today, because just last week I've in fact, we need to do a podcast on, I have a big vision and no money. You know, and so two different potential clients out of two different parts of the world say, I've got this amazing product, but I don't have any money. And so my answer back to him is, we need to find the tip of the spear in your messaging. We have to come up with some dough to figure out how to, you know, pay for me and you to kind of lock arms for the next 6 weeks. And, you know, we gotta find the tip of the spear in your messaging, and you got to communicate your vision early and often, because it's just not going to happen unless you put in the sweat equity, the blood, sweat, and tears, and go out there and cast vision every single day. Until you find your core of people that want to run alongside you.
Yep.
And so that's the good news. I think the good news is it's all on you. The bad news is, you know, it's not digital marketing. It's going to be automated and cool and slick and sexy, and you don't have to do anything, and you can have mailbox income. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
You know, God gave you this vision for a reason. You got to go communicate it now.
Exactly. And then you got to figure out how to communicate to the right people and in the right way so that you can create evangelists and you can create people that want to go create some buzz and talk about it.
So you know? Let's finish this off. You wanted me to tell this story. And so I'm going to tell you a story about R7 and how it basically came about. So back in 2009, I was going to Germany to meet with a client. And my wife and I went to this church, and it was very much an apostle-led church. And for those of you who don't know the difference between an apostle and a pastor, apostle is supposedly supposed to hear from God and, you know, kind of blows out this congregation because he's almost like too like prophecy, you know, like vision oriented that just people can't get behind it. Anyway, we dropped into this church, and this apostle was preaching, and he just pulled me out of the crowd and said, come here. And he hit this prophecy upon me, and it was really centered around Isaiah 55. And I didn't know what to do, you know? And so I was just kind of standing there, and like, I felt this heat wave come over me. My ears got really hot. My cheeks really got hot. And next thing I know, I just was just very overwhelming. I fell to my knees and, you know, kind of just like passed out. And I left there, and I know there's ministries that are set up that are very, you know, prophecy oriented.
Yep.
I was not, and today, to this day, I'm not. And so at the time, this hit me, and my wife was there, and I'm like, okay, what do? I have a choice to believe this or not. And honestly, I sat there, I sat on it, the idea, for about a year. And then I noticed that like these people started showing up in my life, and I won't name them here on the podcast, but you know, when it comes to destiny, there was an expert who came into my life, and he had this destiny process. And then vision, you know, I had a guy come into my life and just started mentoring me on vision. And he was very much in the marketplace and an expert in vision, and then strategy, and then brand, and then communicate. You know, I string 6 years of this. And I look back and I go, my gosh, these people were in my life strategically for a reason. And, you know, R7 was birthed out of that prophecy. And so I just started kind of chipping away at it, you know, and understanding, you know, how do we build messaging? What is it like to be, you know, the destiny, you know, like, what does that mean? And started exploring it. In fact, I mentioned it earlier. I set up a company called the Reset Agency, where I took executives in the jungle in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We did R7 in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And it was just, I call it Reset Island. And so like people started showing up, and it was just a really cool time where I didn't really understand, but now this polished version of R7 has come out, and it works, and it's awesome, and it's God sent. You know, and that's why I was saying the story, you know, wasn't from 2001 to 2013 wasn't very exciting. It was just show up, you know, and understand what's around you. That's why I love this book, Chop Wood, Carry Water, because it's exactly the thought process of where I am now today with Emma's Good 24 years later.
See, it's wild, man. We talked about this with Steve Noble, but we underestimate the value of time and overestimate our ability to move forward in this idea of a vision.
Yeah.
Dude, you need time. There's a reason why crock pots are good. It just takes time, man. You got to do some tenderization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to sit in it. You got to wrestle with it. You got to keep wrestling with it. Like, dude, like, if you'd have gotten all that and walked out in 48 hours and built it and got going, there's so much that you would have missed.
Yeah.
So much you would have missed in terms of interaction, all the wisdom you got from all different people that got put in your life. Like, it would have been a shell of what it ended up becoming 6 years later.
Yeah. And I hate this podcast. I really didn't intend this podcast to be about me and Em is good. Yeah. It's really about kind of what you can do with your vision when you turn it to be about others.
Yes.
And, you know, what understanding what people are going to get out of interacting with you. And in that, there's a God story, there's a faith story that they can, hopefully they can grab hold of, and you can be a source of inspiration.
Yes, but at the same time, we're sitting here talking about the fact that you need to communicate, right?
Yeah.
And if there's something to think about and all that, it's that it takes time. It
takes time.
You can't just communicate it and then tomorrow it works. Like, if you go back and read, I mean, this is one of the great things that made Malcolm Gladwell's book Outliers so amazing.
Yes.
How many hours does it take, Dave?
10,000.
10,000 hours. None of that takes time. And I would argue with you, vision is very similar. You've got to communicate it again and again and again. And you just have to keep on battling time when everything inside of you wants to put that sucker in the microwave, hit 1 minute and sit go. It just doesn't work that way. And yeah, you see people like Steve Jobs and you see, you know, great organizations that are out there and all these things. All you see is the snippet of the end. You don't see the story that it took to get to where you've got to get to. You don't see the 10,000 hours. It, you know, to his point in the book, you don't see the Beatles playing in Germany forever before they become anything anywhere. It's the 10,000 hours. It takes time.
Yeah, I used to think that it takes time means I don't have to do it today. You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Or it can wait because I got time. And it really doesn't. What it takes time means you got to allow the market to understand your positioning. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to work. You've got to allow your simple messaging and your vision to grow in other people's spirit, in their minds, in their thoughts. You know, I heard it's a couple years ago, but I heard the executive of Geico say, if I can get $300 million ad spend, I can be the number one agency in the world. And I'm thinking, you know, I looked it up and it's like, he spent $180 million. And I'm like, why would he say something like that? And that's just like bully marketing. That's just, you know, getting the impressions share up, you know, to communicate the vision and the funny commercials over and over and over and over again so that it just consumes your mind share. And so when you're starting a business or you're new, or even if you're, you know, on the top of your S curve and need to create another innovative strategy to go forward, you're positioning yourself in the marketplace as an expert or a solution to a problem. You know, this takes time. This is what takes time. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything. It means you start the process and you chop wood and carry water and you do it over and over and over again until you've got a stack of wood, man.
Well, you do it while no one's looking. It's what we as athletes,
yeah,
we all knew to get to wherever we got to is you're going to practice when no one's looking. I mean, I dare say, go back. It's the Mamba mentality, man. How many amazing stories of Kobe Bryant, of him staying and practicing well after the Lakers are done and he's still making shots.
Yeah.
Or coming in way before practice, making shots. Like he understood so well, Tiger Woods the same way. They understand so well what it takes to really be great. I mean, I saw a reel on Tiger Woods a couple weeks ago, and Steve Williams, you know, his caddy when he was really at the peak, you know, talked about the fact that, we really didn't celebrate. He was on a podcast recently, and he talked about this. He goes, we really didn't celebrate. He's like, Tiger struggled on a couple things and whatever tournament he's talking about. He's like, so after the tournament, we went back to the range and he hit 500 more balls. We went back to the range by his house because it was a tournament in Florida and we hit 500 more balls. because he wanted to fix whatever the issue was. He was not satisfied. It was always about what's the next thing we're going to do. It was never stopping through a big old party, because he's like, everybody thought we party like rock stars. He's like, no. There was no partying. It was, all right, what's the next thing?
Yeah, that's good. You know? All right, you get the last word. Let's shut this. Let's land this plane.
The last word. You know, I think you said it multiple times. So if you have this on your bingo sheet, you should have gotten a chip on it. Okay. communicate often, right? Get that vision out there. Communicate it often. Okay. Don't just take it out for your team meeting. Don't just take it out for a board meeting. Don't just take it out once a year. Communicate it early and often, right? And understand whatever you're going to do is going to take time. And I know you don't feel like you want to, need to, or should to.
It's good stuff, man. But it takes time. See you next week, guys. Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. Want to learn more about M is Good? Go to misgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.